The Friday Football Betting Show.
Thanks to the Boyle Sports Bet Builder. Combine multiple selections into one single bet at one great price. Try it today at offtheball.com/Boyle Sports.
And a very good afternoon to you this Friday afternoon. You're very welcome along to the Friday Football Betting Show here on Off The Ball, live across all of our social platforms as ever. If you want to leave us a comment, you could be in the chance of winning one of the prizes that we give away during the live show. So drop us a comment on the streams on youtube.com/offtheball, on twitter.com/offtheball, and of course also on Facebook. We're monitoring all of those. So if you've got a good idea, or indeed if you want to give out to us about any of our bad tips over the last number of weeks, well, now would be a good time to do that, because I'm going to remind everybody in studio about the bad tips we've had over the last couple. Gentlemen, how are you doing? Welcome.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, Jerry.
Can we tip a winner, please? Is there any chance of...
Not at the moment.
It's tough. It's tough out there.
Yeah, yeah, it's a jungle. We're a little bit late because Leon's flight from Vegas has just landed. You're just back from the McGregor fight.
Yeah. No, it was interesting, to say the least. Some of the scenes that went on were just disgraceful, really.
Did you see them live or did you see them afterwards?
I seen what happened in the arena live, and only saw what happened around the concourses, as I'm sure everyone else did, on social media.
Yeah, so you didn't feel...
No, I mean, I was talking to plenty of Russian guys over there. They were very amicable, having a beer with a couple of the guys. There was no problems. So just seemed to all kick off after, obviously, the result, and then... people who were caught in the arena, trouble started to kick off.
Because I'm always wondering, like, we've all been at matches where there's been issues and you're like, oh, I saw nothing. But it's like a 20,000 seater stadium. Like there are people up in the nosebleeds and the concourse goes the whole way around.
This
could be a tiny little area, or it could be general all over. It could be general mayhem. And it's always hard to know from the social media stuff.
I didn't think it was all over. I mean, there didn't seem that kind of edge. You know, as you've rightly said, when you go to a sporting event, you can feel...
Yeah. We've all been at football matches where it's like, this is nasty.
I didn't feel it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, I was talking, as I said, plenty of Russian guys having a bit of banter, having a beer with them, no problems whatsoever. And then it just seemed to kick off with a couple of idiots after the fight.
Yeah.
So.
What was your view of Khabib jumping into the crowd? Like, how close were you?
I wasn't too far away, actually.
Good seats.
It was a bit nerve-wracking.
I'd say so.
You know, because...
at that point, it could all go off.
It could all go off, yeah. And there was a couple of kind of younger kids who were not too far from that either.
Right.
So that was a bit messy. I know he's apologised after it, but no need for that, really. And I think some of the scenes in the ring after the fight, there was no need for that either.
Yeah.
So it was a pity because, to be fair to Khabib, he totally deserved his victory. He was by far the better fighter on the night.
Yeah.
And seemed to outthink and out muscle Conor.
Yeah.
So
good atmosphere. And like, what would you compare it to?
There was a great atmosphere. Like when Conor was coming out, Foggy Dew was playing. There was a good atmosphere, but didn't seem to have the hype, Jer, as even the Mayweather fight. I mean,
yeah.
I was at that 12 months ago as well, and that seemed to just be, there was a buzz around the city. Not as much for this fight, to be fair. And who knows? Maybe there will be a rematch. That's what everyone's talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There might be nothing. Who knows?
Who knows?
It's hard to know when someone's like ripping your head off. You go, I'd like to do that again. Really enjoyed that.
I know. Well, see, he's got five more fights in his contract.
Yeah.
And maybe he'll try and avoid Khabib. But knowing Conor and the way he's been throughout his career, he's never ducked a challenge. So maybe there will be a rematch.
Yeah, you feel that whatever happens, everybody's going to get rich off it anyway, which they're not doing off our tips from last week. I'm going to show you what we had. So the order is Nathan's bet first up from last week. What did Nathan back? Burnley to win and Leicester to win. Burnley did not win. They drew. Leicester did win. So that 4-1 was no good because it was a draw and a win. And that might actually have been the best of our bets last week. Next up was Phil's bet. Tottenham to win and Harry Kane to score, which was 2-1 on. Harry Kane did not score.
No.
Burnley to win, which was a draw, and Leicester versus Everton, both teams to score.
That happened.
That did happen.
So we between the two bets, we actually have two good bets here. Leicester to win and both teams to score would have been a great bet because that did
Everton
happen.
Everton won.
Oh, Everton won. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. All right. So then I was the wrong bet. That
Guilty
Leicester
Sigerson
won.
Scored one of the goals of the season.
Yeah. So Nathan's bet was actually crap. Then he had a draw and a loss. Right, Leon's bet was Liverpool to win, so that one was gone straight away. Yeah. That was a draw. Spurs to win, that did win, and Burnley to win, Burnley did not win.
A draw as well. disappointing with Burnley.
Yeah, they let us down big time.
I mean,
let me down in my last man standing competition in my local pub as well, so not good.
I just think that, like, Burnley, they're at that stage now of their evolution where they're going to be hot and cold, right? Like, he's trying to take a leap forward, and
they're going to be hard to beat, but they're also going to find games hard to win, which is pretty much what they were last season, but they just seem to find a way.
Yeah.
Caban is not here. Shame.
Fulham.
Watford lost. Chelsea, well, they did win, you know, 6-10, that's a good bet there, Kev. And Fulham to win. What was the score in the Fulham game?
5-1, Darson. He was close with that one.
Cyrus Christie did his best impression of the Red Sea there. Although,
when it went 1-0, Kev was probably thinking, yeah, Arsenal, here for the taking now.
Flaky Arsenal. Okay, so this week's offers, we can bring you this week's offers ahead of the game. Obviously, all of our offers are at offtheball.com/boilsports. Ireland's score in the first half was 6-4, now 2-1. I mean, look, if you think Ireland are going to score...
We always score too early.
Well, I mean, that was back in the day, yeah. So
we did score the first half the last time we played
it. We did, yeah. I just thought, right, park the bus, we're going for the World Cup.
That 8 minutes where the anthem was amazing, we scored the goal. It's like, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, we're going to the World Cup.
Should have made it 2-0. That is... and then, sorry, we have the other one is the England games. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Don't worry about that. So Ireland scoring the first half versus Denmark is now 2-1, up from 6-4. Let's talk about this game and get into it. One of the weirdest build-ups to a match in a long time, in that you know, you've got to put it together with what happened the last time the team was together, and we've kind of almost forgotten about how bad the football was because of all the other stuff that happened.
Yeah, all the stuff off the pitch has probably worked out well in terms of it's deflected just how bad that performance was in Cardiff. It was woeful, the first half. It could have got even worse. There was a bit of pride restored in the Poland
was
game.
Is that like the friendlies really?
I know, because the pace of the game, it was walking pace at times, and you know, Lewandowski didn't even play. I feared going into the game because Lewandowski was due to win his 100th cap that night, but they benched him and they didn't even bring him on. So the encouraging thing was there was a few players like Callum O'Dowd and Sean Williams played well, and played well enough that there's a case for him to start tomorrow, but you just know he probably won't start. That's all. It's all around the team selection. You'll know tomorrow, an hour before kickoff, when we get the team, exactly what we've learned from the last month. If he goes with his usual team, then you know he's just learnt nothing.
Yeah. I don't think he'll give those lads who've done well against Poland an opportunity to show themselves in a competitive game. It's a pity. I'd like to see it, because the lads who he keeps sticking with, unfortunately, are not doing the business. And there is a call for some of these younger guys to be thrown in at the deep end against Denmark. Let's see what they're made of. I don't know. I'm a bit fearful for tomorrow, but there's no Eriksen, right? Yeah. So that's a big plus.
He killed us the last time.
Absolutely killed us. We got our tactics spot on in Copenhagen in the first leg because we didn't give him any space. We went there, we got a nil-all draw. And I know we were 2-1 down at half-time, but the second half was just farcical. Mm. To give him that much time, that much space, it was like, listen, here's the old freedom of the pitch and go out and do what you do best. So Denmark minus him, they're not great. I mean, they're solid. Like, this could be an old school game of one or two chances per side, and if you take them, you might get a win. I don't see there being loads of goals tomorrow night. I think it's going to be a very, very tight affair. And without Eriksen, I don't see where the creativity comes from Denmark.
No, like Denmark under Herreide, they changed, they went 4-3-3, they went more direct, and basically, but they have a plan. Like, I've no problem with playing direct football if you have a plan. At times, we play direct football, but there's no plan. It literally is just a lump up the pitch and see what you can get off it. Whereas the way Denmark would play is, if a ball breaks, Eriksen's there to pick up the second ball. And the nearer he is to goal, obviously, the more potent he is. But Herreide said after that game, honestly, Ireland, you couldn't have played a better way for us and for Christian Eriksen. You basically played the perfect game. You played a diamond formation. He gave him the freedom of the Aviva Stadium, and look what happened. And the final insult was when Nicholas Bentner scored a penalty.
Yeah, that was. We were already outside trying to get the Danish fans getting in situ for that, and the news came through that Bentner had scored, and it was like, oh Jesus!
It was a grim night. Shane Duffy. I was at the press conference the other day. Obviously, the approach even this week has been different in terms of press. No Roy Keane. We were there on Tuesday. There was meant to be media on Monday. They cancelled that on Sunday night. So they had media on Tuesday, an open training session at the Aviva. Martin O'Neill did a piece, and then there was six players. And it was basically, right, get all your media done. And then he's just held his press conference, him and Jeff Hendrick, and the word is that Jeff Hendrick is going to start.
Okay. Does that dictate how we're going to play then? Do you, on the basis of Hendrick being in that press conference and assuming he starts, now fit in the pieces around him? Because there was talk that we were going to three at the back.
That's what I hoped, we'd go three at the back. I mean, Hendrick can play in a three at the back.
Oh.
Sorry, in a like a midfield. Like
width,
a,
yeah.
Which effectively, the way we're going to play it, it's going to be a 5-3-2.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
We've all at one point in our lives supported teams that played 5-3-2.
Yeah, absolutely. But. And obviously, like, there's going to be uproar if Matt Doherty doesn't start. If we play three at the back and Matt Doherty isn't the right wing back, well...
But surely he's got to play Doherty. I mean...
It would be logical, all right.
It would be logical, but, like, you also... I mean, you almost get that stubbornness from O'Neill that... I'm going to prove you wrong. You know, I'm going to show you that we don't need him. Or
so let's actually hear you, because I think you guys were asking him about this, and here's the press conference audio. So the question obviously was about Matt Doherty. Doherty had said, I think, to Nathan after one of the games, or maybe it was Dave. We were doing a Wolves game recently enough, and Doherty had said the maybe my face doesn't fit line. That specifically came up in the question to O'Neill. Here's what he said.
Yeah, I think he is. I think I went to see him on Saturday. And he was saying himself that the team, Wolves, didn't play particularly well in the first half, but they come storming through in the second half, and he in particular scores the goal as well too. So he's having a really good time at the moment. Again, one player who's playing exceptionally well in the Premier League, and it might he's got a good chance of being involved in the game. Matt's been in the squad here now. He has. A natural difficulty, obviously, since breaking into the team here, because he's essentially a wing back at this moment. It's the position that he is finding himself in, and it's the position he's most comfortable in as well. I think he's 26 years of age now, and I think he's maturing into a good player. And I think that not for one minute does his face not fit. It's just a matter of playing in the team. And it's very difficult. I just don't actually, because someone is doing well, I just, generally speaking, be difficult for him to take over the role. If we're playing a back four, as you just mentioned, we've one of the best right backs in Europe playing in that position. And when he was injured at the time, Cyrus Christie came in and stepped in. And you'd have to say Cyrus Christie did very well for us. Very well. So there's positions on, remarkably, is one of the positions that we're actually quite strong in. There's other positions that we're not strong at all, but this is one here. But in terms of his face not fitting, simply not true.
Well, that's good to hear, isn't it? His face fits.
Yeah.
Didn't actually say his face fits. Said his face doesn't not fit. It's like a triple negative.
But not to be disrespectful to Cyrus Christie, I think the games he done well in was against very, very poor opposition. I thought when we played, anyone decent, he was found out.
He did play the Germany game, though.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. That was a strange game where we obviously had to just sit in, and we get the goal from Shane Long from a long kick out from Darren Randolph. But yeah, I was at the Georgia game in Tbilisi where we need a goal. Cyrus Christie gets the ball, runs down the channel, takes on his man, and you're thinking, right, Cyrus,
yeah,
it's injury time, get the ball in. He ran it straight out for a goal kick. And everyone was just like, oh, that's it. It's gone now. I just worry. Sometimes the ball is played to him and he just doesn't get it under control quick enough.
There's none of the finesse that you need to be like a true Premier League quality player at that level. Like, you can see him being on teams that come up and down, or Fulham will probably over the course of the season find somebody to get him out of the team. Matt Doherty's in the complete opposite arc in his career at the moment, where He joins a team, gets embedded in the team gets taken over, a bunch of money gets injected. Yeah. They buy competition for him, he beats that competition. They get promoted, they buy competition for him, he steps up again. Yeah. He's exactly the type of player that you should be in your squad going, look at everybody else in the squad, look at what this guy has done.
Yeah.
He has beaten off world-class players, maybe not world-class players, but world-class money to maintain his position and thrive in the Premier League under good coaching. He is exactly the person that we want to start building around. But, you know, I mean, Cyrus is doing a good job for us and you can't take him out of the team.
I think the face doesn't fit line is quite... He plays football for his club. They only play football. It's ball on the deck. Mm. We don't play that type of style. And it's almost like, because Seamus is out at the moment, like, will O'Neill go with Christie or will he go with Doherty? You know, I don't know. I know who I'd go with. It's Doherty all day long.
I think there will literally be uproar in the stadium when the team is announced.
If he's not in.
And if Cyrus makes any mistakes early on. And it's not fair on him, because it's like... But it is indefensible in the face of the evidence. I know you're talking about logic, right? It would be logical. But it's also, you have to do it when you're in the situation that O'Neill is in, where your popularity is at an all-time low and you're really fighting for your job. I mean, I know we all think that maybe there's too much money involved in the contracts to pay them off. But there's also going to be a European Championship match in Dublin where Ireland will play at home and John Delaney will have his crowning moment in the FAI. And if he thinks that Martin O'Neill can't deliver it, he ain't going to be like, OK, we'll find £1 million from somewhere, lads. We need a manager who's going to get us to that game.
Set up a GoFundMe page. We'll deal with it.
Our first winner is Paul Carroll on YouTube. He says, Martin needs to make changes. May as well build for the future at this stage. Walters and the likes can't last forever. No, it's true. Like, obviously, we love Johnny Walters. Just think that he's exactly, again, the type of player that you want. Obviously, he's not around for the next 6 months anyway. So.
Yeah, so you kind of think that Walters may never play for Ireland again.
Yeah.
You hope that he gets back and that, like, and that he gets to a level of fitness where it would make sense for him. Can we sketch out the team? Is it like, is it ridiculous? So who do you want?
Okay, well, Randolph plays in goal. So if we play three at the back, obviously Shane Duffy, then, you know, Richard Keogh played in Poland in a three-man. But
do you like a bit of Richard Keogh?
Yeah, I loved his penalty at Old Trafford. I feared for him when he was going off to take that penalty. Kevin Long... even like John Egan is playing for Sheffield United now, and you could play him on the left hand side of the three, and then obviously Enda Stevens could be your left wing back, and then you've got two club mates who that relationship between the left sided three man defender.
Ward's out, is he?
Ward's out, yeah. So I'm thinking Enda Stevens has to start.
Clark?
Is he sent home?
Would he play Clark, Phil?
He could play Clark because it gives you balance on the left side.
Because your left foot, yeah.
Yeah.
As the left of a three, as or the left wing back?
Left of a three.
Probably the left of a three, I would say.
Can I make a suggestion here? What's going to happen is that Cyrus Christie is going to play a right wing back and that he's going to pick Matt Doherty as left wing back and go, well, we put him in the team. I mean, it's not my fault he didn't play very well.
He's done that before.
He'll pick him out of position and then go,
I mean, good players can play anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you guys wanted him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He, like, well, nothing to do with me that he stank the joint out playing in a completely alien position to him.
I really hope that doesn't happen. But Enda Stevens is playing for a club that is top of the championship at the moment.
Yeah.
So he's in form as well, and this is a really good chance for him. Greg Cunningham was in the squad, but he was cut from the squad. So Enda Stevens is the only recognised left back. He's a left wing back. He's played McLean there before, but you need McLean further up the field. So I think you're looking at, obviously, Shane Duffy. Do you know what? I think he probably will play Kieran Clark, and then it's either Egan, Long, or Keogh.
Okay.
And then obviously I'm hoping that it's Doherty as
right wing back. And who's in midfield? We've got Jeff Hendrick for one.
I think Harry Arter should start because it just gives you that energy. Even watching them train the other day, we got to see a lot more of them in training the other day, and he just gives you that energy. And he's a nuisance in there, and he'd be out to prove a point. I thought Sean Williams did well in Poland.
You're just naming names now. Come on, Phil. Pick a team.
Well, the team I would have.
Hendrick, Arter and Williams.
No, because I want O'Dowda in. O'Dowda has to come in. So I'm going to go with Williams, Hendrick, and I'll put O'Dowda in as part of that three. And then I'll put
Long
and McLean then up front. But McLean, obviously, licensed to come out wide.
Yeah, OK. Yeah. So you've dropped Arter. You talked out of him.
Yeah. But
actually, you're probably more likely...
He'll probably go with Arter ahead of someone like Williams. But I was just impressed that Williams wanted the ball. We need players that want to get on the ball.
Yeah.
And that has always been our problem. We don't have those players.
No, and he has, I don't know, just his role for the McLean goal in the Wales game where he like knows to step over and get out of the way and draw some of the defenders away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you just feel like Arthur is somebody that, whether or not Roy Keane rates him as a footballer, is kind of irrelevant. He's definitely better than what we have.
But it's a big game for Harry Arthur.
Yeah, he hasn't played many good games.
No, he hasn't.
The game I remember him playing well was in Vienna, but he actually started badly and he played in a diamond. He played on the left of a diamond and Glenn Whelan was at the base of it. But Glenn Whelan went off injured. David Myler comes on and it goes then to a more like a 4-2-3-1. And it's Arthur and Myler playing in front of the back four. And then when Arthur was central, he was so much better. I remember asking him after the game, you know, it was his first competitive start. He said, I said, how did you feel playing on the left of a diamond? He's like, not my favourite position, but you've got to do what you've got to do for the team. But it was no coincidence then, as soon as he went more central, he played better.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, you could have him and Myler in the team. Like, we need defensive solidity. We need Myler's energy and work rate, and you're going to get kicked tonight and I'm going to do the kicking and we're going to stand over you when you're on the ground and go and get up. Like, we just need a little bit of that energy and impetus in the team. It's terrible that that's the stage we're at in this team's development, but I would...
Myler plays well for Ireland.
He does.
He does usually...
He definitely does.
Yeah.
I mean, you could even play him left wing back if you needed to, but I can...
He played right back before.
I know. I can see the attraction of him putting James McLean back at left wing back and getting somebody else into the team who's a bit more creative, like, as opposed down to Stevens, who I don't know if he trusts him just yet. I have certainly not seen enough of Sheffield United this season to know where he's at in his career. Definitely another late bloomer, somebody who kind of didn't make the grade at Villa.
But I think having McLean back in the I think having McLean back in the team is a huge plus. I just think his energy, the way he feels when he pulls on that jersey, I think it does rub off on a couple of the other guys. So he's a massive player to have back in the dressing room, because there's no doubt about it. At the moment, for me, he's Mr. Ireland in terms of what he gives and how much he tries.
He's got a green cast, lads.
Yeah, I mean, he loves it, doesn't he? I mean,
he does. Stuff he was saying about Harry Arthur during the week, I thought he should have just shut up. Though, it's like, well, I mean, come on, why are you leaving the squad? I'm like, well, because the manager clearly thinks I'm an asshole.
Yeah. Like, you can see, though, like with McLean, he would play for Ireland under any circumstance.
It's fair enough.
You know, so I suppose he's trying to give that out to some of the other squad players.
Yeah, like
you know, he's probably going to play 4-4-2 now.
And then if none of this happens.
So then if he plays 4-4-2, does Matt Doherty play as a right back in a four?
He can't play a right back, he's a right wing back. You just heard Martin O'Neill say, he's not, like, you know.
Because then you're looking at Randolph, then he's going to play Christie, Duffy, probably Clark. And maybe he might go for Doherty as a left back. I'd be surprised if he played Enda Stevens as a left full back. Could do, though. And then you're wondering, would he play McLean on the left, O'Dowd on the right, Arthur and Hendrick in the middle, and then Shane Long and Callum Robinson up front?
I mean, it's like...
Yeah, it's not bad either. I think the whole thing about Martin O'Neill is he's got to pick players that are playing well. Seriously, you've got to pick players that are playing well for their club, that have a bit of confidence. And as Phil said, if you're playing for a side that's top of a league, irrelevant of the league, and the Championship is a bloody good league.
Yeah, it's a great league. Well, so, it's our league now.
So I'm saying you've got to get these guys in the team. There's no point in picking players that A, are not playing for their club, and B, that are out of form.
I mean, look, there is a point to that. And if he was to come out, or if he was to explain to the hierarchy of the FAI, like, look, we don't think we can rescue the situation from here, but we do think that we're going to be able to qualify from the group, then playing John Egan in a game like this and giving him the proper full 90 minutes exposure, that would make a lot of sense. And afterwards, you could defend that. You just would need to tell everybody that, so that we're not going, why are you doing? You're picking a team. Do you know what I mean? It's a difficult situation.
I don't even think anyone would have an issue with that at this stage.
Well,
you know, because I think the Irish fans...
If they got hammered, though, like...
Well, I suppose we got hammered the last time he played his team.
Is he going to lose his job? That's the thought process that prevents you from taking those risks.
Get hammered by Denmark without Christian Eriksen. Like, it just can't happen.
No, I mean, you'd be surprised if it happens.
Like,
well, you wouldn't be that surprised. You'd be mildly like, well, that's unusual.
What are you looking for tomorrow when you go along to the match? You want the usual commitment. You want organisation and you want it to see that we have a game plan. And you want players that are on the pitch that know what the roles are. And we don't always see that. Where the second half of that Denmark game, he pretty much just ripped out his midfield. The worry about it was, he was asked a few months later, if you look back at the game and if you were in that position again, 2-1 down at halftime, would you do the same? And he was like, yeah, I'd go for it again.
Did he not say he thought he made a mistake? Was there not another one later on where he was like, yeah, probably made a bit of a mistake there? I thought he owned that a little bit, but I mean, whether or not that's the same as, yeah, I wouldn't do the same thing, I don't know. I mean, it was clearly a mistake. But
it was a massive mistake, yeah.
We should look at the odds for this.
Yeah, Ireland are 21-10 at home. Excuse me. Denmark are a much bigger price because of Christian Eriksen not being there. Just a little bit over 6-4, 31-20. And the draw just under 2-1. So looking at that, you can see that there's no clear favourite. Like a team that's 6-4 away from home, you are expecting the home side to put up a bit of a fight. I think it's a good opportunity for us to actually beat Denmark. Like, Christian Eriksen just makes them tick. In the Wales game, he was the one who got their 2 goals. He was the one, everything goes through him. So they're going to be a little bit more defensive, I think, Denmark. Like, Phil, do you think they would accept a draw now, away from home?
Yeah,
definitely, yeah. I mean, they still have to go to Wales, obviously.
Yeah, and they play us at home, obviously, in November.
Yeah, so if they, if they drew with us and drew at Wales,
they're going through.
Cardiff, they'll definitely fancy the chances of beating us in Copenhagen.
Oh, they're going through, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, so the second winner is, I agree with Harry Arter starting. He's been one of the only Cardiff players to play well over the start of the season, which I guess is to your point, Leon. John Keogh on Twitter made that point. And then our third winner is Michael on Facebook, says, Ireland are directionless at the minute. The fact we don't have a clear starting 11 for this game of extreme importance should scare us. It's mad, but it is actually important because this is all going to feed into our seedings for the draw for the Euros. And the Euros, as I keep banging on about, are some of the most important matches that are ever going to be played on Irish soil. So,
And just for Doherty, 10-1 to score any time, 25-1 to score first.
Is there a price on him to start the game? any game time?
Like, it's kind of one of those stories that could be written that he gets his start, he plays right wing back, and he scores. I mean, you just never know.
Ah, look, it's one of those scripted, and it all comes up Martin O'Neill, and he goes, "Wow, I managed this perfectly. Yeah. Got him to just the right level of anger and aggression that he was going to be perfect tonight."
Yeah.
Time in our run late, as we always do. So our bets this week. So my bet's going first here, and I like the draw in the Ireland Denmark game, which was 19-10 when I selected it. Has that changed? Is it still around that?
No, it's spot on, Jer. It's still 19-10.
The Poland Italy draw. That was my kind of outlier. I suspect that the Italians are probably going to win that game, really. But then, I don't know. Do they care about these kind of games? It's hard to know.
I watched them against Ukraine the other night, and they were good, but they just can't score goals.
What was the score?
It was 1-1.
1-1.
Right.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, in his first game back, he tried to bring back Balotelli. So that goes to show you how much they're struggling for goals.
Yeah.
Actually, do you know who was really poor? Jorginho. Like, Mr. Passmaster of Chelsea. Ferrati was so much better than them. But they've already drawn with Poland in the group. I could see a draw, is a decent enough shout.
Yeah.
The fact that it's
away. Is it more likely to be a Poland win? Is that what you're telling me?
Poland they're not great. They're having their own troubles.
Yeah. So 8-1 is the double price on Ireland against Denmark and Poland against Italy. I think that's not the worst bet I've ever suggested here. I've definitely suggested some worse. Phil, your bet. This is a whopper, the odds on this one.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I just looked at these two games and thought they're going to both end in draws.
England against Croatia and Ireland against Denmark.
Yeah.
So you like the draw as well, but you like the 1-1 or the 2-2 or the 3-3 or the classic 4-4.
Yeah.
Both teams to score.
We'd love a bit of 4-2 tomorrow. Yeah.
That would give us plenty to talk about. And England against Croatia, both teams to score and a draw in that one as well.
Yeah, the England-Croatia one is a tough one though, because it's behind closed doors in Croatia, because they obviously got the ban. And Croatia obviously beat them in the World Cup, but they're missing players now. Like, Mandzukic has retired. Subasic has retired as well. Brozovic isn't playing, but Modric is playing. Rakitic is playing. And then I'm looking at the England team, all these young lads that he's brought in, but is he going to start any of them? Is he going to give someone like James Maddison a go, or is he going to stick with the, I was going to say tried and trusted, I'm not sure how much I trust Jordan Henderson and Eric Dyer together. And
well, I mean, they're going to be hard to beat. They're going to pass the ball to each other a lot.
Yeah,
get a lot of touches.
Imagine Croatia will own the ball. It's Croatia's first game at home since the World Cup final. It's just a pity they won't have any supporters there to watch.
Someone did dub a swastika into that's why they're not there. So.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
But you'd imagine Croatia will dominate possession, especially when you've got Modric playing.
Are you not being a bit greedy with the both teams to score? Would you not be as well just going draw in the two of them and you end up about 8-1, 9-1?
But I just don't think they're going to be nil all draws. England always concede goals, but they have a good knack of scoring goals. So that's why I couldn't. And Croatia have a great record at home.
All right, 19-1 is the price that Phil has gone for there. England against Croatia, both teams to score and a draw. Ireland against Denmark, both teams to score and a draw. And our second special this week, a reminder, both teams to score and England to win is out to 7-1 from 5-1. So a 2-1, 3-1.
Yeah, I think just going on what Phil said in terms of no home fans, it's probably an opportunity for England. I think England are bringing, what, is it 500 fans or something like that?
Oh, they get to bring some, do they?
They're not allowed on the ground, though.
Oh, not allowed on the ground,
no,
okay.
But they're not playing this game in Zagreb, right? So the stadium, it's really small stadium, but there's a hill, and they reckon there's going to be English fans standing on the top of the hill looking over.
Right, yeah.
You know, like you see.
It's probably Wimbledon, isn't it?
I can remember when we played Bosnia, there was same with Moldova as well, away. They had these huge high-rise flats. And, you know, you'd see lads looking out the window. That's the kind of thing. That's how people are going to watch the game.
Okay, Kev's bet is next. Kev, obviously, with his deep knowledge of world football, it's Russia against Turkey. Russia to win is evens. It is Kosovo to win. They are 9-2 on. And Kosovo are playing Malta. I mean, going heavy on the Kosovans.
That was last night,
wasn't it? Oh, was it?
Yeah. As far as I know.
Well, we'll check the results. Did they win?
I thought Kosovo won.
Well, there you go. I mean, good man, Kev.
I could be completely wrong there, but
I don't think you probably... We'll look at that one up. And then, so Norway to win, and Norway are playing... Oh, hang on. Kosovo are playing the Faroe Islands, or are Norway playing the Faroe Islands? Well, so we'll get to that one. So Norway to win are 7-10. That all comes in at 4-1. I don't think any of us, apart from you maybe, Phil, are well-placed to critique this bet.
Well, if I think that Kosovo were playing last night, but see, I don't know which game he's picked for them to win. Because obviously they're playing a couple of games over the next. So the Faroe Islands.
All right. Kosovo 3, Malta 1.
That was last night.
Yeah, so it's next game it's against next Faroe game. Islands.
Well, they've warmed up with that win against Malta, so they'll be full of confidence.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I apologise to you, Kev. And then the last one there is, as I've just said, is the Norway game, and that's Norway against Slovenia, and Norway are odds on to win that. I don't like, you know, putting my money on the Norwegian football team.
Slovenia were in Scotland's group. Remember when we beat Wales with the James McLean goal? I can remember being in Cardiff the day before the game, and we needed Slovenia to avoid defeat against Scotland.
Yes.
And they did that.
They did.
So that's about the last time I've seen Slovenia play. I can remember myself and Dave McIntyre watching Slovenia and Scotland.
And they weren't bad, were they, Slovenia?
And they were okay. Obviously, Scotland should have won the game.
But Scotland are terrible.
Yeah, and then obviously it set it up for us. We knew if we beat Wales, we'd get the
play. Sure, we're the new Scotland these days. Okay, so finally for now, Leon, your bet.
Yeah, I'm going, excuse me, I'm going with all home teams. I think Austria are well capable of beating Northern Ireland at home.
They're 15-8 on.
Belarus. The mighty Belarus are taking on the might of Luxembourg. Oof. I think Belarus at home will be...
We have a Luxembourg fan in the office who's been keeping an eye on Luxembourg, and...
I'll be honest with you, though. He wasn't too convinced they could get a positive result in Belarus.
Right.
Belarus are not bad. I think Belgium probably got the best player in the world on current form in Eden Hazard to beat Switzerland at home. And I'm going to finish it off with Bulgaria, who are at home as well. So I've gone for four home teams. Bulgaria are at home to Cyprus. So it's a 9-2 chance that all four home teams. I think in these games, I want to go home. Home sides, I think it's important. So hopefully. And if you bet 10, you get 50 on our sports book. So go to offtheball.com/boilsports. Bet 10, get 50. So a €10. Little accumulator there would get you back €55 should I win.
Very good. So we've all gone for draws. I do think that's the most likely outcome. I don't think we're going to be celebrating. I would happily take a draw at this point.
Yeah, I can see us scoring from a set piece.
Shane Duffy.
Yeah,
like send the off last the anytime score is like a,
yeah.
He says he feels like he can score anytime, and I'm like, well, you're the only one who does.
He was the man that got us that goal very early when we last played Denmark. But no, you know what? I'm just hoping that we can give the Irish fans something to kind of talk about in a positive way. And not having Christian Eriksen is the best news I've had all week.
Yeah,
well, and it looks like Bale's not going to play either.
Yeah, it's 50-50 at the minute, they're saying, so.
Yeah.
And like, why, if you're Gareth Bale, you're like, well, I'm going to just sit this one out.
I think Real Madrid are putting pressure on the Welsh FA because they haven't scored, Real Madrid haven't scored in the last four games or something.
Lopetegui's already on
the way out.
Yeah.
All right, that is your Friday football betting show. Thanks very much for being with us this week. And remember, gamble sensibly. If you are gambling, check out gambleaware.ie if you need to. We'll see you at the same time next week. Good luck.
The Friday football betting show.
Thanks to the Boyle Sports Bet Builder. Combine multiple selections into one single bet at one great price. Try it today at offtheball.com/boilsports.